Father God, we do thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here and each and every person that's watching us online. We thank you, Father, first of all, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And Father God, we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. Father, we thank you that today as we go to study your word, that your word will not return void, but Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And help us to not be just help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But we thank you, Father, that we'll take that word that springs forth life on the inside of us, and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus with a lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this generation, revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father, we thank you that we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you today as we go to study, to preach your word. We thank you, Father, that the Holy Ghost is ever present. And we thank you, the Holy Ghost is leading us and guiding us and showing the way and give us utterance to speak with all boldness, the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But Father God, we thank you that the anointing of God is here tonight. That anointing that saturates us, that anointing that changes us, that anointing that sets us free. We thank you, Father, for that anointing being with us, being ever present. And Father God, we thank you for each and everything that you've done in our lives, both here and around the world. We thank you for mom and dad as they're there on vacation. We thank you for giving them strength and wisdom and knowledge and helping them just freshen up. We thank you, Father, for everything you are doing. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Like I said, mom and dad, they're on vacation. It was camp meeting week, and, you know, obviously, real tough week, so they took some vacation. I know some of the Oklahoma City church, they're like, well, do you ever take vacation? Sometime, I guess. I don't know. But you know, we're happy for them. In fact, Sunday morning, I'll be here ministering Sunday morning, so let's have Pack the Pew Sunday, all right? Let's have the biggest Sunday morning crowd of all year so we can rub it in to mom and dad saying, see, you left. And we had a huge crowd. Wonder what happened. You know, everyone that's tuning in online, tell your friend, make sure we have double the people tuning in online. We'll have the biggest watch service all year long because mom and dad are gone. Amen. Just being joking. But, you know, it would be nice to pack the pews. Amen. Now, what is kind of interesting is that you realize that every Sunday and every Wednesday, we have as many people that are watching us online as we do in the building. And so it's kind of amazing. And now it's Facebook Live. We're even capturing more people. So it's just wonderful how technology that around the world can be blessed by a message. And what's even real amazing is how many people that watch us around the world when it's like 3 and 4 in the morning. And I know this because, you know, I was in Greece and I was able to tune in online. And, you know their hours are way different than our hours. In fact, you know, people didn't realize I was in Greece and they would text me at 4 in the morning my time. And I'm like, I'm trying to sleep, you know. But I'd answer the text, you know. So especially, you know, my kids, they would text me like 5 times because they want to make sure, I answer them. So anyway, praise God. Well, you know, today we're going to have a short little faith message. In fact, if you're at Oklahoma City Church on Sunday night, you'll heard this message. But, you know, every time I preach differently, so... But you know, Romans 10:17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Or Brother Hagin always said it this way. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He says that word hearing there denotes continuous action. And if you followed his ministry at all, you would know that he's talked about faith more than any other subject. And one time he was actually at a meeting, went 3 weeks. And so, and in the morning time, primarily he talked about faith in the morning time. And so the third week happened, and one of the guys who had been there, you know, the first 2 weeks said, well, Brother Hagin, are you going to talk about something different this week? You know, he says, all you do is talk about faith. He says, well, once you get it, I'll talk about something else. You know, and the interesting part about it is, no matter how many faith messages we've heard, a lot of times we just don't get it. And I don't get it that we don't get it, because it's really easy. It's not that hard. But I want to go to the keynote scripture from our ministry, Mark chapter 11. And I know most of you can quote it, or if you can't quote it and you go to church here, then shame on you. And by the way, my grandfather did not write Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24, even though some people think he did. He did not. Mark 11, 22 is where I want to start, and that's the scripture that I really like. It says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God.'" And, you know, I always point that scripture out because many times people are trying to follow the 99 steps on faith, and they forget about the scripture before. Have faith in God. Our faith should be in God. It's not in the pastor. It's not in any minister. It's not in ourselves. Our faith has to be in God. You know, or, you know, for us to live here in America, we write it on our money. In God we trust. We trust in God. It's God that we trust. It's Him that we trust. And, you know, one translation here for this scripture actually says, "We'll have the faith of God." Anyone heard that? Have the faith of God. And so I asked God one time, "What is the faith of God?" Because I didn't know. And He took me back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. And He showed me. He says, "The earth was null and void, and God said, 'Let there be light.'" And after God fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and He gave a $1,000 faith vow, the light came on. Obviously, it didn't happen that way. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Why was there light, Craig? Because God said it, He believed it, and it happened. That's the faith of God. And so really, Jesus is saying, have the same kind of faith that God did back in Genesis whenever you're talking to your mountain. All right, and we haven't got to Mark 11, 23 yet, but most of you know what it says, talking about to your mountain. But, you know, the point is that it's not about giving big offerings, not about fasting and praying for 40 days and 40 nights. I'm not saying those things are bad. Well, maybe fasting for 40 days might be a little extreme. Okay. You know, it's not bad, but in this scripture, it talks about saying, believing, and having. Saying, believing, and having. Those are the three steps to get your needs answered. Say it with your mouth, believe it in your heart, and have what you say. Now, when you believe it in your heart, you're believing that God is able. Remember, your faith is in God. Your faith is not in yourself. Really, we have it so easy because all we have to do is believe that God can. All right. How many of you believe that God can do anything? See, most of you. How many of you are sleeping? I'm just kidding. I'm only asking. Yeah, because there are a few people who don't believe God can do anything. But God can do anything. All right. So if your faith is in God, then how can it not happen? I mean, you know, realizing, think about it, is if my faith is in God, then why am I doubting that it's going to happen? Why am I questioning? I'll get to that. I haven't answered that. But you know, why should we question if God can do it or not? Because it doesn't say for us to do it. It says for us to have faith in God. And that's where a lot of people mess up. They're trying to believe that they can somehow do it. You don't do anything. All you do is believe. All right, we have it simple. Now, see, the Bible is really simple, but we try to make it hard. I don't know why we try to make it hard, because, you know, the simpler it is, the easier it is. And in fact, they say that Jesus actually spoke in simple English. I mean, not simple English, but a simple, you know, a speech of the day. I mean, you know, there's English, like I speak, and then there's like really English. All right. And most of you know that I didn't take my one extra class in college to have an English minor, because I thought that would actually not really be helpful. It would, you know, I would have an English minor, but why? Because I can't even speak English. So that would be foolish. And so You know, my counselor called me in and said, Craig, because when you transferred from one college to another and you have an extra English course, and said, if you just take three more hours of English, you can have an English minor. I mean, why don't you just go ahead and do that? I'm like, no. So I didn't. Because if I had an English minor, then I would feel bad about speaking bad English. Anyway. So, verse 23. Now remember, Jesus is the one doing the talking here. That's why it's in red letters, all right? So it was Jesus talking, not Brother Hagin, not some minister. This is Jesus talking. All right? It says, for assuredly I say to you, so he's talking to his disciples. I just want to set the stage. He's talking to his disciples. He said, I say to you, but then he said these words, whoever says to this mountain, he's pointing to a mountain. Now notice he didn't say, I say to you 12 and no more. Because some will say, well, this is only for the disciples. No, he says to his disciples to tell whoever. Now, whoever includes you. All right, you're a whoever. And also whoever else you know, that they're all whoever's. All right, it says that whoever says to this mountain, now he was pointing to a literal mountain, but whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, in this scripture, there's a lot of saying going on. Now, many people don't realize it, but it says that whoever says, so that whoever person is saying, all right? And then it says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. There's a lot of says in there. You know, you're going to have whatever you say, all right? But it says, say it with your mouth, believe it in your heart. Now, most people look at a mountain, they don't believe that that mountain can be cast into the sea. I mean, that sounds insane, right? But you have to believe that God can. All right, not you. You're not going to do anything. Now, notice it doesn't say, go to your pastor and have him say. It doesn't say, go to some minister and have him talk. See, you know, do you know how many people write me on Facebook or call me, text me, or whatever, want me to say stuff? I always repeat what my grandfather always says. Well, it's your need, right? I'll pray with you. Well, that's being mean. No, it's not really being mean, because you know what? I want them to understand that they don't need me. They have God. You know, they have God. Now, you know, you realize not only that, I mean, how many were here at camp meeting on Friday night, Brother Mark? Remember he talked about the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me? Knowing what dwells on the inside of you, you realize that everywhere you go, you carry the same spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. The same spirit that was with Jesus when he walked on the water, when he changed the water into wine, when he fed the 5,000, that's on the inside of you. So you realize that whatever you're saying, it's not just you saying, it's you and Jesus. It's always you and Jesus. Now, I have found out that sometimes the reason, now when we're talking about mountains, Jesus pointed to a literal mountain, but realize the mountains in our life are not always literal. All right, sometimes they're financial. Sometimes they're physical. They could be spiritual, emotional, or whatever. But realize that Jesus, you know, I always read John 10:10. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He meant abundant life financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, every way. Jesus came that you might have an abundant life. Now, you can have an abundant life because whenever you're facing a mountain, you need to say to that mountain, mountain, you cannot destroy me. But a lot of Christians, let me say it this way. How many of you know that there's a difference between a speed bump and a mountain? All right, speed bumps, you know, let's say, if has anyone ever hit a speed bump at 30 miles an hour? Not intentionally, but you did. I've done that. Now, it's a little uncomfortable, but your car gets over it. All right, you go and try to run over a mountain at 30 miles an hour without a road there, and you might have, you know, it might be a little bumpy and you might not make it. All right. But you know, a lot of times we have speed bumps in our way and we do nothing about it. Pretty soon they turn into mountains. A lot of Christians ignore their issues. Sometimes I think we kind of think, well, you know what? If we just do something about it, I mean, nothing about it is just going to go away. But man, God wants to take care of your speed bumps. You know, a lot of times that we might have some financial situations and not too bad. It's only a couple $100, you know, it's not too bad. I mean, I can figure out a way to get by. But then, you know, let's just put it this way. Has anyone ever wrote a check and you didn't have enough money in the bank? Maybe you thought you had enough money in the bank, but someone else or used a debit card and someone else used a debit card. And I mean, like, for instance, you end up going to Starbucks, didn't have enough money. So your $5 coffee ended up to be $5 plus whatever fees the bank charged. And then, you know, if you had other checks, I mean, one time, this is a long time ago, I bought a four-wheeler, quad racer, 500. I wrote a check for it. The check was fine. It was going to clear, no problem. But I forgot to tell my wife that I had wrote the check for it, and she paid some bills at the same time. And we had six different things that didn't clear. You know, that we could have waited another week to pay some of the bills, but we paid them early, blah, 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 you know. And I'm like, but I told you, I mean, you know, but so, you know, and it like snowballed. Anyone else done that before? Well, you know, the thing about it is sometimes that's how it is in our own life. We have a speed bump and we do nothing about it. Pretty soon it snowballs into a mountain. You know, because, you know, at one time it was only a few dollars, but then, you know, you wrote another bad check and then you had to pay the bill plus the fees and this and that and everything else. And thank God for a great relationship with the banker that covered all the fees, and that was great for me. But if you don't have that with you, then it's not good for you. All right, so I was able to get a small loan from my parents and paid off all my stuff. And, you know, next day we were all fine. Thank God for having good parents. You know, but the thing about it is sometimes we need to think, hey, that's a speed bump. I don't like that speed bump. Especially it's no fun hitting it at 30 miles an hour. Speed bumps are, has anyone ever lived in a neighborhood where they decided to put speed bumps in your neighborhood? Irritating, right? Now, maybe it's not irritating because now you don't have people flying through your neighborhood, or you get to sit outside in your lawn chair and watch the people that don't know there's speed bumps in your neighborhood, you know, and so you take videos and, you know, all kinds of stuff, see people's car get destroyed, thing like that. So, you know, maybe it's fun for you. I don't know. But, you know, it's just irritating. You know, but a lot of times things are irritating, but we just let them go on. Yeah. We just let them go on. Now, let's read Mark 11, 24, and then I'll say what I say. It says, therefore I say unto you that whatever thing you ask for, or ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Notice that it says, whatever you ask, believe that you receive, and you will have it. Now, it indicates that you'll have it whenever you pray. Well, but you don't really have it, right? But you have it by faith. Now, you understand, whenever you pray, that you believe you have something by faith. Now, if you already have something, then why are you asking God, when are you going to have it? Because you already have it. But I don't see it. But remember, we're not moved by what we see. See, all these Christians have all these sayings, but then they don't believe their own sayings. You know, we're not moved by what we see, but it hasn't happened yet. Okay, let me give you an illustration. I just celebrated my 30-year reunion out of high school, all right? 30 years out of high school. I mean, I graduated high school at 7, so now I'm 37 years. Okay, maybe not. Now, do you realize, you know, when you go back to our reunion, I mean, we spent 4 years in high school, 12 years completely, because some of our friends I knew all the way from kindergarten all the way through high school. Do you realize how many things we actually remembered? You know, that we went through or did. I mean, there's things that stand out or whatever. But really, I mean, there's very few things that it's amazing how, I mean, my memory's not really getting bad. I have actually a pretty good memory, but there's this, you know, it was so long ago. You know, and I told the guy the other day, I said, let's give worst case scenario. Let's say it takes 3 years. 3 years to get your need met. Do you realize after 30 years, 3 years will seem like it wasn't very long at all? Now, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be 3 years. But it's interesting how if it's been 2 weeks and we haven't got our need met, we get mad. It's because you like to go to McDonald's. You like fast food. I mean, you're the guy that goes to McDonald's and you're mad because you actually had to wait for them to cook another hamburger. Because you wanted one that was not fresh. Because it's fast. You know, the deal is that, you know, we're used to, you realize what we do, we go to a drive-thru, we order, we pull up a few feet, well now they have the two system where you pay one window and then you get it the next window, you know, and we expect our food to be there by the time we get there. And expect it to be nutritious and gluten-free, you know, but if it's not nutritious, that's okay because you got the Diet Coke, right? So never figure that out. I mean, you know, if you're going to go, you know, splurge on some kind of, you know, greasy hamburger or whatever, just get the regular Coke. Well, I want to be healthy. Don't go to McDonald's. Or if you do, get the salad. You know, I didn't figure out. I couldn't, you know, at McDonald's, actually, you can get a Greek salad. I don't think I'd want a Greek salad at McDonald's when I was in Greece. I mean, that was... I'm thinking, if I'm going to Greek salad, I'm going to go some other place to get a Greek salad. This is McDonald's. I'm going to get a hamburger. Now, you know, but we like things fast. We like it quick. And so we get, you know, sometimes irritated because, well, we prayed like, that was like 30 minutes ago, God. I mean, I could have a TV dinner done by now. The old-fashioned way in the oven, not the microwave. Anyone remember the oven TV dinners where you actually put it in the oven? It was, you know, a little bit longer. I mean, you know, you had to wait 20 minutes, 12 minutes, whatever it is. And still, we thought that was too slow, so we had the microwave where I got to put it in for two. Anyway. But the point is that even if it took longer, it doesn't matter. Just believe. Someone said, well, what am I supposed to do if I haven't got my, if I don't have it yet? I said, well, I just do what the Bible says. Having done all, stand. Amen. Do you realize that after it says stand, it doesn't say to move? It just says stand, so you just keep standing. Amen. You know, and then if you want to sing one of those songs, sing Standing on the Promises of God. You know, I just stand. Well, but it hasn't happened yet. Okay, stand. But I haven't, quit saying but. That's the problem, quit being a but with God. You know, you have it by faith. Now, let's talk about this. I know people that go through situations and they never ask because they think that God won't do it for them. Now, why do they think that? Well, you know, they hadn't gone to church like they should, or they haven't prayed like they should, or their Bible's dusty, you know, or whatever. But you know that God doesn't condemn them. Even the church doesn't really condemn them. You know who's, you know, they have what we call self-condemnation on the inside. They're condemning themselves. Do you know who brings that self-condemnation? The devil. Do you realize the devil will try to tell us, well, God doesn't love you. Well, the Bible says that nothing can separate me from the love of God. So he does love me. Devil's a liar. You know, he said, well, you can't believe. Well, the Bible says right here, Jesus said, whoever believes. It doesn't say whoever believes in tithes. It doesn't say whoever believes in fast. It doesn't say whoever believes and goes to church. It doesn't say, no, I'm not saying you shouldn't go to church or tithe or do whatever you need to do, but it says that whoever. The problem is that you try to imagine yourself that you were God. And you're thinking, if I was God, I wouldn't reward you because you're not the best Christian in the world. Okay, but just because you're meaner than God is, doesn't mean our God loves us. All right? And, you know, even when we weren't the best Christian in the world, he still loves us. And you know, any of you that are our father or a mother should understand that, because there are times in your life that your kids are probably not doing the right thing. You know, you might even catch them not saying the right thing. But you know what? I bet you still love them. God still loves you. In fact, God loved the whole world, even when there are yet sinners. You know, and the thing about it is that the reason that we're not getting our needs met is because we're never asking. Now, maybe it's just because you're a guy. You said, what do you mean I'm a guy? Okay, have you ever been on a trip? Now, I know we have GPS, so maybe it's a lot easier. But, you know, you go on a trip, you get lost. The wife always wants to stop and ask for directions. The husband's like, no. Anyone ever been like that? Seen that happen before? And then so what happens is if they do stop, the husband tells the wife, well, you go in. Now, I found that most of the time the wives can't remember the directions once they hear the directions. And so they get the directions, they come back, and you're like, well, where do I go? Well, he said go down to this tree down here about a quarter mile down the road, and I can't remember if he said turn right or left. Now, what he said was the tree was on the left and turn right, but, you know I don't know. Has anyone ever had that happen? You know, but now we can listen to our GPS, but you have to watch. You realize that people have driven into lakes and stuff by following their GPS? In fact, I was on a highway one time, elevated highway, and my GPS kept screaming at me, turn right now. I'm like, what do you want me to do? You know, fall 20 feet, you know, to my death? And so I had found out by talking to someone who was from the city that was a brand new highway. They had just redone it. And, you know, my Apple Maps hadn't recalibrated. And so they're trying to kill people. Unfortunately, but there are some people that might have turned right now. I mean, it screamed at me like four times. And then it told me after I go to the bottom, it says, take a U-turn. So what? You didn't kill yourself up there? So go down, take a U-turn and come back and kill yourself? Anyway, so when you're following the GPS, just make sure you're not going to drive in a lake or drive off a cliff or whatever, you know, it happens. Now, it had nothing to do with my sermon, but, you know. The thing about it is, sometimes we just have to ask. We just have to ask. You know, open our mouth and ask. Now, God loves us. So much. And, you know, like Jesus said, he came that we might have an abundant life. But we need to just ask. Now, John, in his gospel, John, in three different verses, he actually tells us to ask. So let's go to John chapter 14. John 14, verses 13 and 14. And I'm going to start reading because I'm running out of time. It says, whatever you ask, this is Jesus talking, in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. How plain is that? It says, hey, guys, if you need something, something you're going through, just ask me in my name, or ask the Father in my name, and I'll do it. And then he says, you know, hey, whatever you ask, I'll do it. So my question is, why don't we ask? Well, you're too busy or whatever. You know, in all reality, a lot of us, what we try to do, this is real life. Let's say we have a financial issue. So first of all, we try to figure out, hey, is there a way we can work overtime? Hey, is there a way I can pick up an extra job or do this? I mean, so we try to figure out how we might can do it on our own. And then when we figure out that we can't figure out how to cover it, then we think, well, maybe I should ask. Before you actually ask, you always think, I think some people actually pray about whether they should ask or not. You know, but the scripture says, ask what you will. And I mean, you know, the deal is, this is where it's at. All right. Myself, personally, I have a limit of what I can give my kids. All right. I mean, there's a limit because I only have so much money. Now, if I can't do it, my kids also know they can talk to their grandparents and they have a bigger limit. they have a little more income. You know, but then they're like, well, when's your birthday coming up, or when's this coming up, or whatever. Here's the deal. Our God's unlimited. I mean, you know, there are a lot of times, I understand, you know, sometimes you know your kids want something. They don't ask you because they know they're on a limited budget and you're probably going to say no. And even if you're not on a limited budget, you're probably still going to say no because, you know, they don't really need that. But you know what? God's unlimited. I mean, you know, it's like not having a credit card, but like having a prepaid credit card that you never have to put any money there. Now, you know, I'm not trying to talk the prosperity gospel. I'm just trying to talk that God loves you. He loves you. You know, and we talk about that he's a God that's more than enough, not just enough, not almost enough. And I always say this, that most Christians, if they had 75 to 80% of their needs met, they would think that was awesome. But our God is not a 75 to 80% God. In fact, the Bible says not even 100% God. He's 110, 125% God. He wants to give you more than enough. That's his desire. And you know what? I really would like it if everything that my kids needed or wanted, I could do. Now, see, something else is, it's not just about what we need. The Bible says he wants to give us desires of our heart. And if you can go back out there, I don't have time to read to tell the whole story, but I have a book out there called The Power of God, also in Spanish for you that speak Espanol, Poder de Dios. And I talk about in that book, believing God for golf clubs, which I didn't need, which were not in the budget. You know, so, but I wanted them. It didn't help my golf game, but I still wanted them anyway. But you know what? God met my need because you know what? Because I wanted it, and he loves me that much. And he wanted to provide that for me because that's something I want. But so many times we think, well, you don't really need that. So, it's a desire of my heart, something I want. Why can't I have what I want? Because it says that if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, anything includes golf clubs. Do you realize that? Anything includes quite a bit, all right? Let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse number 7, he says it this way. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, this is Jesus talking again, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Notice it doesn't say you should ask what I desire for you. It says you ask what you desire. What do you desire? What do you want? You know, that includes golf clubs, that includes a car, that includes a house, that includes whatever. What do you want? Because you know what? We have not because we ask not. Ask what we will and it shall be done. But when we ask in faith. Nothing wavering, just believing. Just that simple. Going to John chapter 16. John the 16th chapter, the 23rd and the 24th verse says it this way. This is Jesus talking again, it's red letters. In that day you ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. If you want to have a bunch of joy because you got something, just ask. Now, here's something else though. Remember we read Mark 11:24 that when you ask that you receive it by faith whenever you ask? See, you can have your joy full when you ask because you have it by faith. Now, our grandfather used to always point out, you know what? You should be as happy the day you ask as the day you get it. Because if you really have it, I mean, if you really have it by faith, people are excited about it. You say, yeah, but I don't see it. Well, your name's not Thomas. Or maybe it is, but you know, some of you realize doubting Thomas comes from the disciples. So he doubted. But don't doubt. Just shout. You know what? Just ask. Just believe. Just receive. It's not that hard. But the thing is, first of all, you have to open up in your mouth. You realize you have to say something? It's not that hard to say something. You know, I know there are a lot of people that won't even ask, you know, questions or whatever. But you understand, this is your Father you're asking. Your Heavenly Father. We're not talking about asking some stranger for directions. I mean, you know, you understand, you just have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Maybe you pray every once in a while. I mean, you know, that's the deal. Our Father, just like our earthly Father, our Heavenly Father, we should be able to let Him know what we're going through. Hey, Dad, I'm going through some tough times here. I need your help. Now, see, understand, we do that a lot in the natural. We talk to our parents, our moms, our dads, and tell them that we're going through some tough times. And, you know, I just told you how I got a loan from my parents because I messed up. You know, but think how much more my Heavenly Father. First of all, his budget's more unlimited. You can mess up pretty bad, he can still cover that. You understand? And that's the deal. I don't care how bad you messed up. Your Father will cover you. We mess up a lot of times in life. We do things that are not right. We make a lot of mistakes. But our Father's so good, He covers it all. You know what? But that's why you can ask Him. You're like, but it's hard. Why is it hard? I mean, it's your Heavenly Father. He loves you. And no matter how bad you've messed up, no matter what you've done in life, He wants you just to ask Him just to come back. Just to come back in fellowship. You know, sometimes it seems our kids only talk to us whenever they're asking for something. But, you know, one time I thought about that and I said, well, at least I talked to you. You know, that's something else. I mean, I do think that each and every one of us need to have a good relationship with our parents and even with our siblings and things like that. Because, you know what? I don't care what's happened in your life. Maybe you got mad somehow, some way, or maybe someone did something wrong or whatever. It doesn't matter. They're still your parents. They're still your brothers and sisters. You know, and really, you know, it's hurting the whole family that you're not talking to them. And that's not part of my sermon. But you know what? It's not that hard to talk to our parents. It's not hard to talk to God. God loves you. And like I said, I don't mind it when my kids ask. All right? But, you know, there are some times my kids ask and I say something, well, not right now. I've even said, well, I get paid blah, blah, blah day. You come back and ask that day and we'll go do that. You know, but God, it's unlimited. He's not on a budget. All right? I mean, he has it. And remember, our faith is in God. Remember, in God we trust. You know, we don't trust in our money. That's what's interesting. You know, it doesn't say in our money we trust. It says in God we trust. Just ask God. I mean, you know, sometimes it's funny. We complain about everything, but we just don't ask God. Some of us, we complain. And so why don't you ask Him? And if you've already asked Him, and you're saying, but I haven't got it yet. Like this one guy talked to me on Sunday night. He says, well, I've asked and it hasn't happened yet. I said, keep standing. Now, did you believe when you asked? Because it says that, you know, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. You have it when you pray. Yeah, but you don't see it. Well, maybe here's the deal. Whenever you're a kid, if you're really good with you had an imaginary friend or whatever, this is really easy for you. Just imagine that you have it. You know, and I always tell people, if you're looking if it's a house or if it's some kind of object or you know, when I say house, maybe not the house, but a house similar to what you want or a car. I mean, you know, make it your Facebook screensaver or your screensaver on your phone, you know, your computer. I mean, look at it all the time. You know whatever probably whatever's on your phone, you probably appreciate whatever's on your phone screensaver or whatever on my iPad, my screensaver is my wife's picture. On my iPhone, my screensaver is my son's race car. Two things I like. Two things I love, actually, one of the truth of the matter. The wife more than the race car, but she sometimes thinks that's a question. But anyway, you know, the thing about it is, man, if there's something that you believe in God for, like I said, on my golf club situation, what I did was every time I had my old golf clubs, and every time I hit a golf shot, whether it was good or whether it was bad, I always say thank you, Father, for my new golf clubs. Now, like I said, but in the golf club thing, I believe God, it was less than a month and God provided. And it was amazing. If you know anything about golf clubs, I asked him for them. I really only wanted the irons. I didn't really, wasn't interested in the woods, or they don't even have woods now. They're actually metal woods. But God gave me enough money that I ended up buying the irons. I ended up buying a full set of woods. I ended up buying a golf bag. I got a dozen golf balls, a hat, golf shoes. I didn't buy a new putter though. I like my putter. I kept my putter. But I mean, I was decked out. I mean, I looked just like Tiger Woods. Well, kind of like Tiger Woods. A little bit bigger than Tiger Woods. I was a little smaller that time, you know. And unlike Tiger Woods, my golf ball didn't go as straight as his golf ball. It went a long way. I get the ball a long way. That's the easy part. The hard part is putting it a long way and actually making it in the fairway a long way. You know, and that's why if I ever invent my own golf course, I mean, think about that, playing a Craig Hagen signature course. Every hole is going to go right. I guarantee I'll be awesome. I mean, it will be so incredible. I mean, I'll have great scores. I mean, dog leg right. I mean, like, man, this is awesome. Everyone will love my course, you know. Because most of the time, people design courses to be hard. Not me. I mean, I'm going to design a course that everyone can play. I mean, you hit the ball right, that's okay. We fixed it. We got your course. But then you come and say, well, Craig, I'm left-handed. Too bad, all right? So my son's left-handed. Actually, he's not left-handed. He just golfed left-handed. I don't know why. But anyway, anybody golf like I do? Speaking of golf, we're coming up on Craig's annual golf tournament. Coming up here. I play once a year now. I can play more if someone else wants to pay for it. Or someone else wants someone bad on your team, you know, because you want a fellowship. Or, you know, if you want to pay me to play in your tournament with you, I guess I can do that. Let's see, you know, I can figure out a dollar figure. Anyway, let's just pray on that note. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you're doing. But Father God, we just thank you that you'll help us to be able to just ask when we're going through situations. But help us to know that when we do ask in faith, nothing wavering, that you will provide everything that we need, everything that we want. We thank you, Father, for everything you're doing in our midst today. And we give you the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.